KQSS Miami.
It's country and more. Gila 101.9.com.
At 6:04 with Globe Mayor Al Gomeros. How are you, Al?
Good. How you doing?
I can't complain.
It's been a couple of months. I wasn't here the last month.
I know. And we're going to miss next month, but we'll have November.
Okay. I didn't know you were going to miss next month. So maybe I'll mention a little bit of what I was going to do in next month's report.
Good, absolutely. It's just one of those things that we've scheduled something that can't be moved.
So, no problem.
And we'll pick up in November. But yes, anything you want, and all the time in the world, you talk as long as you want.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go over first on what I put in for my August report and go back to July, which I missed the last time.
Okay.
Obviously, you want to talk a little bit in August about our ladder truck. I think I mentioned in the past that we have a ladder truck, 65-foot aerial now, that is non-functional, it's still functional, but won't pass certification. So that truck was bought in 1992, so it's 30-plus years old. We tried everything to try and retrofit it and get it going, but it's not going to happen. So the issue with that is, you know, we're left in the community without a ladder truck, a truck that you can do defensive firefighting or elevated streams, as we call them, in case of a fire. And those are really critical, like in the downtown Globe area, the downtown Miami area, some county areas. You look at the industrial areas we have, like the mines, Freeport, BHP Copper, and Capstone all have, you know, 3-plus-story buildings in their area. So now we are in the process of, we did locate one. We're going to go ahead and we're looking at a 110-foot aerial, so almost doubling the size of what this one is, only for planning for the future.
Sure.
And higher buildings being built in our community, you know, 50-year, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years
sure.
from now. So the price tag on that ladder truck is $2.5 million. Yes, and this is a truck already in the making, so we're lucky. So when you get something in the making, you really don't aren't able to specify what you exactly want, but it's still, everything is pretty standard. So if we were to go with a new build, it would take 4 years to get it. This is still going to take us 18 months to receive it. So we're still a ways down the road. So anyway, but the reason I brought that up is because we just approved a donation agreement with BHP Copper after being informed that they are donating $800,000 towards the purchase of the ladder truck.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so that's about you look at about maybe close to 30% of the cost of the ladder truck. We are looking for other stakeholders or other partners in this process to get us closer to that $2.5 million. Obviously, it's something that we're going to have to buy and come up with a way of purchasing it. So along with that, and this will be in next month's, you know, we're also looking at replacing our 100-plus-year-old station at a cost of about $13 to $15 million. So we're looking at different methods, different options that we can go about trying to come up with the monthly annual payment of the new station, something that is needed. Our station is not really, if you look at it, it's not safe anymore. We cannot make it safe for our firefighters to protect them from the carcinogens, from all the other stuff that goes along with fighting fire. And there's so many new modern stations that have decontamination. They have red zones, separation zones. And we can't do this in this station. So a new modernized station, in order to satisfy those requirements, we need to build from the ground up.
Great.
And we have purchased the land, and it's close to 3rd and Ash. It's that medical building. We will
right.
tear down the old I can't remember who was in that medical building, but we'll tear that one down.
Right, and we all know that building, and it's wonderful that will be reutilized and active again. So,
you bet.
And it's a terrifically central location right on Broad Street, so good deal, and you've got it already.
Well, yeah, and this is the one up by 3rd and Ash.
Yes, okay, all right.
3rd and Ash, yeah, and it's close to the stoplight, so we'll be able to control.
Right. All right, sure.
They have the Hawk system coming up from downtown, and then we have the intersection at 3rd and Ash. We'll be probably the design is going to be a two-story building because we're going to utilize as much as we can of the land. So that, I just want to really thank BHP Copper. Again, putting into the community and with that $800,000 donation towards
okay.
it. I want to talk a little bit about our Citizens Academy, because that starts this Wednesday, the 17th. This is a seven-week program designed to give residents really a deeper understanding of how our city operates. The last I heard, I think we have almost two dozen applicants.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they cut it off already, but it doesn't start till Wednesday. I would get a hold of our city clerk, Shelly Salazar,
okay,
in order to find out if there is any more openings. But they are able to go to each department. They get a breakdown of the operations of that department. It starts also, I will be doing the one this Wednesday, and I break down our city government, which is a city manager, council, form of government. I'll break down our city meetings, how we operate, open meeting law, how that operates, talk a little bit of our budget also. So that'll be starting this Wednesday, and it's from 6 to 8. We also give them, we feed them every Wednesday, so they can come and enjoy a meal also.
Good.
So please call Shelly Salazar at 928-200-8535 if you're interested in attending. Like I said, I don't know if there's any more openings.
That's great. And the 7 weeks start?
Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
So, like, that's what I thought you said. So 2 days from today.
Yes.
So you better call tomorrow if you're interested.
And even if there's openings, I said, there was close to two dozen that I was able to look at the last time.
Well, and hopefully if it's too late and you can't get in, you can still from Shelly get some information, because there will be another one after this.
You bet. You bet there will. We also approved a ASU partner training program for our nonprofits, our bed tax organizations, in the amount of $26,000. And this is with ASU Lodestar Center. And this will be really utilized for capacity building, sustainability, just to help our nonprofits move forward under the new agreement, the MOU, with our bed tax organizations.
Okay.
So they're going to be every quarter. And I think the first one is in October 25th.
Okay.
And that's an all day. And we will have to have, according to our MOU, representatives from each bed tax organization in order to satisfy their agreement. And this is also funded by United Fund of Globe Miami, and Freeport and MacMoran is also partners along with this. We had our Arizona League of Cities 2025, and this is the first time that our entire council was able to attend. Usually our vice mayor, Mike Stapleton, was not able to, but he worked full time. So this time we had all seven of ours. And this event included a parade of flags, and this really represents all 91 cities and towns of Arizona. And it offered a wide range of seminars and a lot of good, effective leadership sessions and committee meetings. So it was vital. It's nice to talk to different cities, mayors, elected officials on their issues and similar to what we have, that everybody has to deal with. I've been to the National League of Cities Conference in Washington, D.C., and I truly get more out of this one than I do the national one, because it's more of a rural, local area, local level event. Also want to, anybody wants to write down the save the date, October 9th from 5:30 to 7:30. I'll be doing my State of the City, and this will be at Veterans Park in front of City Hall.
Great.
And I encourage everybody to come in. I'm working on what I will be speaking on. We're going to really reflect on, the milestones that have been completed. We're going to share exciting updates on how we're continuing to shape our future. It's an ongoing thing. We aren't there yet. We're still moving forward to finally come to that sustainable future that we're after in our plan.
Uh-huh.
Arizona Trail Award, this is an organization called Love Where You Live, and they were chosen by the Arizona Office of Tourism for the Arizona Trail Project, and that has over 105 art installations. And I want to give special recognition goes to Thea Wilshire and Regina Ortega. You know, they're passionate leaders, and they are the driving force behind this nonprofit organization. And their dedication to beautify this community through art continues to inspire all of us. You know, and there was a lot of other organizations, including the City of Globe. I want to thank them also for the participating in this project, making things happen. And all the artists also that participated with this event. We share it all. My next Coffee with the Mayor is scheduled for this Wednesday, September 17th at 1 p.m. And this is hosted at Copper City's Coffee. And again, I want to invite any residents. It's a great opportunity to meet myself, to meet our vice mayor. He also attends them, and ask questions and get the most accurate, up-to-date information on city projects, either past, present, or upcoming. So that's this Wednesday, 1 o'clock, and we've had a pretty good turnout. We have more and more people attending it, so it's been good. So we're going to continue them, and I want to thank Copper City's Coffee for graciously hosting this event also.
Yeah, it's nice. It's an informal situation for people who don't want to, for instance, call on the air. If you do, by the way, 888-876-5593. Operators are standing by. Actually, John is sitting, but he'll answer the phone. And but as far as an informal situation, that's nice. Copper City's Coffee, 1 p.m. Wednesday, this Wednesday, the 17th. Good.
You bet. And we go over a lot of, you know, people have questions, or we go over a lot of topics and thinking what's going on. So we want to make sure that, you know, they get the right information. It's really been a good thing. It truly has.
Right, right. Especially when people have complaints or whatever, to just be able to voice them casually is a great diffuser sometimes.
You bet. And if we don't have the answers, we'll try and get the answers. We do follow up calls to them, or, you know, get back with them if we do get the answer for them.
Okay.
City Council, we approved our final budget on July 8th, and that was in the amount of $57,562,961.
$57,562,961. Yes. All right, final budget.
Yep, right. And the breakdown really is about a third on each one. You know, our operations budget about $18 to $19 million. We have enterprise funds close to that amount, about 20, and then we put in about $18 to $20 million in anticipated grant money.
So, nice.
So it's about a third, a third, and a third. So, but our operations is about $18 to $19 million this year.
Okay. And how does that compare with previous years?
I'll go back to when I worked with the city. Our budget was $11 to $12 million.
And that was how long ago?
That was 10 years ago.
It's not that long ago.
No, it hasn't been that long ago. But
huge improvement.
You bet. But you know, when you look at the time back then and the revenue that was being generated back then, a huge difference, you know.
Yes.
So that's, you got to have the money in order to do things moving forward, purchase, you bet.
And that, you know, that's so important, because somebody might say, well, $12 million, now you need $18 million. Well, heck, just go out and get a fast food hamburger. The prices of everything have escalated to the point that you can't do anything with $12 million like you did a dozen years ago.
You bet. Look at the station. Pre-COVID was around $6 million to build. Now we're looking at $15 million, $12 million, or $14 million, $15 million. It's crazy.
We talk about this so often. I don't, you know, obviously it's beyond all of our pay grades to solve, but I don't know how people do it. But yeah, we put up another container 4 years after we put the first one on a property, and literally the price doubled, and it was materials.
I believe it. Yep. And everything's awaiting. We're still waiting.
Right. Everything's mañana.
Yeah. You can't get it. You're not going to be able to get things right away that you want. Going along with that, too, we did approve, and that'll be in the next one, $1.5 million in equipment, and mainly a lot of the police cars. Again, I go back to my days that we were borrowing cars for police and fire to get to calls. Now we're able to, we're going to build our stock. I think we're buying 5 police cars, a new sweeper that we definitely need, in dire need, dump trucks and a couple of trucks. And Public Works is benefiting from a lot of these vehicles, too. You know, just a lot of worn-down equipment with a lot of miles. Where, you know, when you got trucks that are 150,000, 200,000 miles, you got to get rid of them. It's time to buy new stock in them, and we're able to do that now.
Which is wonderful. Thank God for the grant writer.
You bet. You bet. A lot of grant money has come through. You bet. We also talk a little about flight insurance, and I think I talked to, I don't know if I did last time, but we did purchase flight insurance. We have done this over the last couple of years for City of Globe residents. Last year we purchased PHI, which is AirVac annual membership, and this membership covers not only the resident, but it covers anybody in their household.
That's great.
So it'll take the overage if you have a flight, you know, and everybody's in different categories. You either have no insurance, you have some insurance, you have high deductibles, but this takes care of that. So last year was PHI and AirVac, and then we also purchased Banner Air because they come into our area also in certain times.
No, that's important because when you're in that emergency, you don't know who you're getting.
Exactly.
And if it's the wrong company, yep. You know, if you're already on Medicare, that's going to basically cover it. But if you're not, your private insurance probably doesn't.
Yeah, but you still have that 10. Some have 10%, 20% copay, so that's still a large amount.
That is a lot of money. So yep. you bet you that, and that's a wonderful thing. And that's just you got to live in the city though.
Yes.
Be a resident of the city.
Yes.
So and that's important to state because of course in the Globe Miami area, a lot of people are on unincorporated land, as we were talking mm-hmm. with Tim earlier, or in the town of Miami.
Yep.
That doesn't count for you guys. Yep. You got to be in the city of Globe.
City of Globe. And we have, they have our list of who, you don't need a card or anything. If you're flown, that will be taken. If you're a city resident, please contact, and you get a bill from the city, contact us because we will make sure that it's covered through this insurance. Again, this year we only purchased PHI AirVac because we were trying to get percentages, information as to how many flights come in. And I think AirVac, since they're stationed here and they take about 80% of our flights out of here.
Okay.
But there's still that, could be that 10 to 15% that you could get Banner Air or you could get LifeNet also.
Right.
So, but if you're going to get flown and it's not a dire emergency, say you got to be flown to the valley, you can request AirVac PHI.
That's good to know too.
Yes,
absolutely. So maybe you'll wait a few hours or whatever,
yes.
But you can. That's very good information. And yes, people when they're in that situation don't think in terms of these particulars, and so this is the time to be aware and maybe make a note on your refrigerator or what have you.
You bet. But if you're in an accident on the roadway, and you know they call the closest, you know you don't know what you're going to get. You aren't going to have a choice.
That's
on there.
Right.
So what I am also doing is I'm encouraging residents, because we only purchased the one and it's a high percentage that you will get them, but I also would call Banner Air, and their number is 800-793-0010, and they have insurance that covers, again, the same thing, the whole whoever lives in your residence. It's pretty cheap. It's like $65 to $75 a year.
It's very cheap.
And
yeah.
I would spend the money
and
do that, because now you got that low percentage that you may be flown by them and be able to get something from them.
Well, and in a situation like this with a rural hospital, anything's of significance, you're going to be out of this area, period.
You bet.
Now, maybe you can go by car depending on severity, but if you can't, you're going to hit this.
Yep. So you want to, you know, I'd be just worried about being covered. The
yes.
other one is Air Methods, and that's LifeNet. And that number is 855-896-9067. Again, I would contact them and see what their premium is. Again, even if it costs you an extra $200 a year, it's well worth it.
Now, there used to be Native Air. Are they still in business?
Native Air, no. We got LifeNet is our closest and Banner Air. Native Air is LifeNet, Native Air. So they're both the same, I think, at
okay.
this time. They're both incorporated the same. So I just encourage people to take that, you know, make those calls, get their information, and make sure that you're covered all the way around.
And if for some reason you didn't get any of this information, I bet you if you were to call the local hospital, CVRMC, they probably have the list and the number.
Yeah, I don't know if they would.
Really?
I would call the city.
Does the city have that readily available if someone
could? I have it readily available because I'm passing
right.
that out all the time
okay.
to people. I tell them personally, this is what I would do. This is what I'm recommending, because we did not buy, we only bought AirVac PHI insurance this time.
So just call the city.
call the city, or if they can't get a hold of us or get any information, they can call me direct and I will give them the information.
Okay. And Al's number, as you know, is in KQSS.net on Al's page. There's a link right on our homepage.
200-2626.
There you go. Easy to remember. 200-2626.
There you go.
A Verizon customer.
Yeah.
Right.
The other thing I'll talk about, I think I did a little bit, Arizona Law Enforcement Accreditation Program. We had a team of assessors come in, and they really came through and did a full accreditation assessment of the Globe Police Department. And this is to evaluate their policies, their procedures, operations, and support services. And they focused on compliance, you know, about the standards and best practices. And they came in with a visit, and I think it went very well. I think, you know, with the new chief of police and everything that he's done with the department, he has really advanced them to another level. And this accreditation program is vital. It's important. Not a lot of departments in the state have them. But it's something to fall back on. And I think it's something that we cannot lower our standards with this in the future. So we went and we're going to pass an ordinance saying that this has to be a minimum standard that, you know, if we change a police chief in the future, they have to follow through and make sure they get an accreditation program.
Now, you say new chief of police is Dale Walters, no longer
Chief Dale Walters,
okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, he's still with us. Okay.
Yes, he's still with us, you
all
bet.
Right.
I think he's
5 years,
seven years, I think, now.
Yeah, right, it's been a while. That's what I was saying. Don't tell me it changed again.
No, okay. No, we don't want it to change. I mean, he's done an amazing job with the department.
It's wonderful.
And so I just hope that we continue, you know, this type of event. And he'll find out this month. They'll be awarded. They'll find out if they were accredited and get the award. And I think it's in Prescott in 2 weeks.
Oh, good. Well, they'll definitely get it.
I'm pretty sure it has been seven years.
I remember it's 2018.
You bet.
Yeah. All right.
Another thing that's going to be in next month, so I'll go ahead and hit on that, is I think you know that we received about a $240,000 award from Department of Transportation for design for downtown sidewalks.
Yeah.
So we completed that and everything. We submitted a grant for the project itself. So we were awarded $1.1 million that we just accepted in the last council meeting. And that's going to take care of starting our project and replacing sidewalks in Broad Street downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And still, even $1.1 million is not going to do the whole thing. So we'll submit again. We're probably going to get in the 40%, 50% phase of getting the sidewalks replaced because they definitely need it. So that's going to help us with that boost, $1.1 million, to be able to start the project.
Good.
And going along with what ADOT's doing right now on the highway, I know it's a kind of a nightmare out there, but they're doing all surfacing. They're replacing the horrible sidewalks that were all broken along the highway, and that is huge because that is what we need. I hope, you know, in the project, I don't know if they're removing poles and getting them off the middle of the sidewalk or what they're doing, but that's a big project there, and I'm glad that we to see that happening now. So that'll go along with that project with them too.
Good.
Along with us with that, we also received a $150,000 safety grant that I spoke about in the past, and we're going to have we hired a company, and they will be performing a town hall to get input from our residents as to what they see or would like to recommend in our Broad Street. And this will be a 2-year time to try it and see if it works. We're looking at, you know, crosswalks, maybe stop signs, better crosswalk painting. You know, they're supposed to, by law, should be piano painting, so they're going to be wider. So a lot of this stuff we'll be able to do with that. But that's going to be the 23rd is going to go to our meeting that night, and then they will set up a town hall for all residents that want input on there. We're definitely going to get our business organizations on these meetings and make sure that we get their input also, because there's a lot of things we can do with our downtown area to make it safer, and really it's about pedestrians and traffic.
Well, absolutely, and the better it looks that way, the more it attracts not only people coming, but hopefully businesses filling some of the empty spaces.
You bet, yeah. You bet. So hopefully that, it'll be scheduled soon because we got a 2-year time frame that we got to comply with. And then once, if those do work, then we submit another grant application in order to make them permanent. after
you
the
two. You got a lot
year.
Going on.
There's a lot of stuff going on, you bet. So right. That covers kind of the 2 months.
Okay.
I can't think of anything else.
Well, you know, if you do, you're always welcome to give us a call. We'll have it on the news immediately.
You bet. I just want to mention also the prayers for the families of the Timber Fire Department up north, where the two firefighters were killed this morning in a head-on collision.
Just heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. They were driving an ambulance, somebody crossed the lane, and all three were killed. It's a sad day for that to happen. That Highway 260, I understand, is a very dangerous road. There's been multiple deaths in the last 2 months up there.
When you're on a two-lane road, if someone decides they're passing at a point where they shouldn't be passing, there's no way out.
No,
you know,
there
isn't. That's the thing. And 60 has its hazards as well that way you hear about routinely. And, it's driving while stupid in many cases.
You
look at what people are doing and you're saying, you know, you're not breaking the traffic laws. You're trying to violate the laws of physics. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
But you do see that. And it's just heartbreaking. I assume that the firefighters were doing what they were supposed to be doing in that situation. There'll be investigation and
I'm sure,
but my gut is that they probably were.
Yeah, don't know if they're responding to a call or coming back from a call,
but
they say that the vehicle is the one that crossed over the center line, the other vehicle, so.
That's what I'm saying, and that's so dangerous on two-lane roads.
Yep.
You know, sometimes if you can choose to, it's better not to be the lead car, you know, be the guy behind it, and we have a lot of those rural roads in this county.
You bet.
So, yeah, driving while stupid is a problem.
You bet, and look at Gonzales Pass before they put that divided highway.
Yes.
The numerous amounts of accidents, fatalities on that road were amazing there.
I know. We still see it between Superior and here. People, and you know, I don't think there's anybody who drives that regularly who hasn't seen some idiot crossing the double line and just, you know, taking fate into their own hands.
You bet. Yep.
And, and it's just so sad when it results in the death, in most cases, of innocent people.
You bet.
All right.
One other thing, because I'm a volunteer with a church in Miami, the Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament Church, we're having our annual church fiesta. If you can put it on your announcements.
I'd love to. Give me all the information.
November 9th. That's
okay.
A Sunday. And it starts at 9 a.m. till 7 p.m. And we'll have lots of food, lots of entertainment, beer garden. I mean, everything. We have this annually.
Yeah.
And so if you could put that on there, it'd be great.
We will. If they're putting out a flyer or any announcement, get that to me so
I will
we'll get
that
all
flyer
the details.
To you.
And that way we can get it on the news regularly. Happy to do that.
You bet. I appreciate that very much.
You betcha. So annual church fiesta, always a good time.
You bet.
All right. No, it is. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't say that facetiously. It is always a good time. So
you
betcha. Thanks, Al.
All right. Thank you.
So Al will be on the air with us again in November. There is no October meeting, unfortunately. But this meeting will replay at 8 a.m. on KJAA, 1240 a.m., 106.1 FM, this Sunday